You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Harrison Fagan today. He is at the spa. Actually, he is actually at Disneyland today, and it's raining, so take that, Harrison. I am joined instead by Fred Katz, who used to host the Locked On Thunder podcast. Now he opened up his own shop. He hosts the Thunder After Dark and then also OKC Dream Team. Both of those are really good, but I really like it when the Dream Team gets together out there. And by the way, that's a phenomenal name for the podcast. That was just really good thinking on your part. How you been?
We're super cocky. we figured like, what's more cocky than putting together an hour-long conversation you have with three other guys about basketball and then making people pay to listen to your random conversation? There's nothing more cocky than that. So we might as well just say that we're a dream team while we're at it.
It's really good. It's really good. And make sure everybody supports Fred at his Patreon. That's the direction this industry is going in, is people actually have to pay for stuff. And I'm making sure that if you enjoy good coverage of a team, Fred is the guy to cover out there in Oklahoma and really across the country. So I'm thankful to have you on. Let's go ahead and get started. And by the way, everybody, you can follow the show at anywhere, all the usual spots. We're just going to dive right in, though. Basically, Laker fans this year are in the super awesome spot of having to root for things to not go well in Oklahoma City so that they have a better chance at Paul George. But things have really turned around lately, right? Things are really looking up. And at one point this season, I would wonder whether the Thunder would ever welcome trade talk regarding Paul George, and if the Lakers put together the right offer, maybe they could get him a few months earlier. But I think we've reached that point, given how the Thunder have played, that's not a possibility. It's not going to be this year, right?
Yeah, there's barring something absolutely catastrophic happening with this team. Like, I mean, and I don't mean this figuratively. I mean, like, literally they lose, like, 11 games in a row. Mm-hmm. Then there is no chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
I've liked the way they – I was actually kind of sad watching them play earlier in the year because, yes, I am a Laker fan, and it did benefit the Lakers if the Thunder's wheels kind of spun in the mud there for a bit. But at the end of the day, I'm also a basketball fan, so I was kind of sad to see how they were. I mean, I knew it was going to take time, but it was kind of sad to watch them play early on. But recently, over the last 15, 16, 17 games or so, Westbrook decided, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm Russell Westbrook. Oh, yeah, that's right, you're Carmelo Anthony. You have to take a smaller role in this. Paul George has kind of fit somewhere in the middle, and they've played really good basketball.
Yeah, they have. They've lost some teams that they shouldn't. They still have a loss, like lost to Dallas wedged in there. They just lost to Phoenix on Sunday night. But yeah, I mean, they're 14-6 right now. I don't know when you're running this, but as of the time we're recording this on Monday, January 8th, they are 14-6 since the start of December 1st, which is really that. It's a very clean marker, the way that worked out. Russell Westbrook is averaging a triple-double over that time and almost averaging 30 points a game. Like, his numbers are super similar to last year, the counting numbers are, and he's been extremely efficient, shooting about 50% from the field during that time. He's been great during that time, and Paul George has just been on absolute fire. The offense has been really good. The defense has fallen off a pretty good amount lately, but I think that has a whole lot to do with Andre Roberson being hurt. I think as soon as Andre Roberson comes back, I mean, OKC between Roberson and Paul George has probably the best defensive wing combination mm-hmm. in the NBA. I think the only other one you can argue is up there with them is San Antonio, and I guess Golden State too, with Kevin Durant having a great year. It all depends on if you count Draymond as a wing defender. Klay is obviously a great defender too, but I mean those three are really pretty easily, I think, the top three wing defender combinations in the NBA. When they have those guys out there and they're able to be a top five defense and they're looking like they're capable of being a top five offense, I mean, they're not the best team in the NBA, but they're one of the best if they're going to play like they have since December 1st.
I can't believe you didn't mention Brandon Ingram and KCP as two of the top.
KCP is not one of the best wing defenders when they play out of state, I'll tell you that much.
Well, he's back. He can finally play. He can leave California now. That is behind him, and the Lakers can continue trying to build culture around that kind of guy. That's really that was a good look. Speaking of good looks, how would you cover LeVar? Like how would you handle that situation? LeVar Ball is kind of going at Luke Walton, saying that he's quote unquote lost the team and all of these things. If you had to maintain your relationship with Billy Donovan out there and also report news, do you count LeVar Ball saying these things as news? We could start there.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's something I've thought a lot about over the last 48 hours. I will preface this by saying it's really hard to say for certain. First off, I think Goodman's a really good reporter, mm-hmm. and I respect him a lot. And I think it's really hard to say for certain exactly how you would handle it, because they sent him to Lithuania, and when your bosses send you to something like that, they're sending you to Lithuania, and they are saying, "Get stuff on LeVar. You are on the LeVar beat." Your bosses are telling you LeVar is news in that action. And when your bosses send you anywhere, even when I just get sent to, like, you know, I was in Los Angeles and Phoenix this weekend. I get sent to Los Angeles and Phoenix just for, like, normal January road games. Like, that is something that you have to justify. You feel like you have to justify being on the road, especially in this era of media and layoffs and budget cuts and all that kind of stuff. And I think when you get sent to Lithuania, you have to do that. I also think I doubt Jeff Goodman just got these quotes and then put them out there. Like, I doubt he just got the quotes and put them out there. I think somebody, at least my process would be, I would get these quotes and I would go to ESPN and I would say, "I have these quotes. We're not going to get scooped on them. There's nobody else in Lithuania. Yeah. We can hold on to these for 2 to 3 days." And this is the way that I would go about it. It's not the right way. It's not the wrong way. It's just the way that I would do it. And I would say, "We've got these quotes. There's no way we're getting scooped on them." I'd go to my editors. I'd say, "Get Ramona to dig. Get Arnovitz to dig. Get Arash to dig. The rest of the contingent in Los Angeles. They have great sources on the Lakers. Have them dig in and see if this is really true. See if this is a thing. Then maybe let's see if we can hold this. If this really is true, if Luke has lost the team." I don't know if he has or hasn't. But if this is really true and he has lost the team, then maybe we put together a bigger story on the fact that he's lost the team, because that's the story. And then you can center it around a more basketball thing. I'm not, for the most part, a lot of stuff. I get that when LeVar says something like that, it can be news. I understand that. I think there are certain things LeVar says where I'd just be like, "Screw it." I don't find him that entertaining. Mm-hmm. I get that a lot of people do. I don't find him that entertaining. And so I think there are certain things I would hold off on. I would write those quotes that he said, because I think when the star rookie says something about the quote, about the coach, you write it. But I would frame it more as a basketball thing than as a LeVar Ball said this, so it must be true thing. Like, I think there's got to be some sort of context there about, like, who LeVar Ball is and what his history is. And if you can confirm what he's saying is true, then that's really your story. Your story is that Luke Walton has lost the team, not that LeVar Ball said they lost the team, you know?
Yeah, that was the thing that I kind of went back and forth in my own head about this weekend. And it was kind of nice that I didn't have to record yesterday. I had a little bit more time to process everything that was going on. And look, it comes down to this. If LeVar is purveying sourced information now, right? Like, let's say Lonzo has gone to him and has said this stuff to his dad about the Lakers. That to me is a bigger issue than the messenger in the first place, because that means the face of the franchise, arguably the two faces of the franchise, because when Luke was hired, he was seen, he was the golden boy. He was the Lakers' first big get because they struck out in free agency going back to Shaq, right? So when you have the two faces of the franchise not on the same page, I agree with you 100%. Yes, that is news, regardless of who is actually giving you that information. Now, if it is just LeVar speaking out of his rear end, then that's a different situation, and that's where the Lakers probably have to have yet another sit down with him and say, look, man, we can't keep having the same conversation with you. They've had it once, they had it back in November, and they can't now go back to that well again and expect anything to change. And this is kind of the disappointing thing, because Magic was hired to do PR. Like, that was one of the things that he was supposed to come and improve with the Lakers, and he's nowhere to be seen. Should Laker fans maybe expect, like, if this was going on with the Thunder, would Presti step up and say, all right, this probably has to stop here?
I don't know how the Thunder would handle this. They're such a tight-lipped, mm-hmm. quiet, kind of buttoned-up, business-like organization. I don't know how they would deal with something like this, to be honest. Presti would do whatever it took to make it as little of a circus as possible. I think it's plausible. Like, I wonder how much this hurts their free agency. Like, their free agency pursuits of guys. And the reason I say that is just because, like, not because LeVar, not because it would hurt any of these guys on the court. It won't. But it's just like, if all things are equal, why go to a place where there's this guy who's just going to be a total pain to you your entire time that you're there?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's got to be annoying as hell.
He's going to be competing for his son's star power alongside whichever actual star gets there until Lonzo, if Lonzo becomes one, and that happens quickly, I don't think it's a big deal. But if Lonzo doesn't become a star and the Lakers sign a star and they make that, let's say it's Paul George, and they make George the face of the franchise, I don't think LeVar takes that very well.
Well, so if I'm LeBron, for example, who I don't think is going to be a Laker for 2018-19, mm-hmm. maybe at some point in his career, but not 2018-19. If I'm LeBron, and I see that, screw the Luke Walton stuff. How about the last quote in that Goodman article when LeVar basically implies that LeBron can go to LA to be the number two, so LeBron and LiAngelo can be numbers two and three to Lonzo's one. Like, that is – I'd be like, all right, screw this. Yeah. Screw that guy. Yeah. Have fun winning 19 games a year for the rest of your life. There's no way. There's just no way I'd be like, I'm not dealing with this crap. I'm LeBron James. LeBron's a man. You know, Lonzo, I admire the way Lonzo's handled this. I think he's handled it as well as he could have. I know some people took some shots at him yesterday for not vehemently defending Luke Walton, but he's in such a difficult position. I don't envy the position he's in. I thought he handled those questions as well as he could for a 20-year-old who, you know, could easily still be in college. I thought he handled that as well as he could have. I feel bad for him. But LeBron is a grown man. Lonzo's a little bit of a kid. LeBron is a grown man. He's not going to take that crap.
And that's before – well, I guess it happened earlier, but that's before you get to LeVar talking about LeBron's parenting. LeBron didn't like that very much, and – one thing that we kind of know with LeBron is that he does keep receipts. I mean, he still, I don't think to this day, has referred to Dan Gilbert by name. And the one thing that LeBron seems to really take offense to is targeting him personally, right? When Draymond Green called him, quote, a bitch, he didn't say that and LeBron responded negatively. It wasn't because – It was brought out of, look, man, I'm a man, I'm the father of kids, and you can't talk to me like that in any scenario. And LeVar has done that kind of, he's crossed that line already. And then if you add to that the circus element that LeVar brings with him, yeah, I mean, I think it's already a stretch to think that LeBron would want to come to the Lakers and leave a title contender and join a franchise that has been stuck in quicksand for 5 years now. That's already a stretch. But then you add to that the stuff that's going on here. It certainly doesn't help. I agree with you completely there. I want to get back to the Paul George angle and all this, because to me that's the more viable name that the Lakers should be going after, and makes it even weirder that they're treating Julius Randle that they are. But what do you think? So Russell Westbrook made the point the other day while they were in LA that his free agency pitch to him is going to be winning a title. Right. And I don't think they're going to win a title. I think Golden State is still an insanely talented team, that the best team I've ever seen. What would you say it would take for Paul George to stick around beyond this season? And has that changed from the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think it's changed. There were people at the beginning of the year who were telling me it's a good trade for the Thunder. They could still get Paul George for a year, but he's going to LA for sure. Mm-hmm. And those same people are not telling me now that he's going to LA for sure. I mean, the Lakers are certainly in the picture. There's no question about that. And he's open about the fact that the Lakers are in the picture. All you got to hear is all the on-the-record comments that he has about playing at home and how much he loves LA and the history of the Lakers franchise. And you go through it, it's like when Paul George first came into the league, Trey Kirby made this point on the Starters, and I thought it was hilarious. Like when Paul George first came into the league on draft night, I grew up a huge Clippers fan. I was a huge Clippers fan. And then later it was like grew up a huge Clippers fan, but I loved Kobe and I really rooted for the Lakers. Now it's like, I forgot that I was a Clippers fan. I really love Kobe and the Lakers. And you can see the way that it's drifting. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he ended up with the Lakers. But I think the chances are a lot lower now because, first of all, I do think he likes it in Oklahoma City. They're starting to play really good basketball. They have a really good locker room. You know, even when they were losing, I thought they had a good locker room. I think Carmelo Anthony has been a really good guy, a really good stabilizing force in their locker room. I know he doesn't have the reputation of being a leader and being that kind of guy, but they have a lot of amenable role play. Like, all their role players are very amenable, loose personalities. I mean, look at Steven Adams, and he just is the most easygoing person you'll ever meet in any context in your life. And then you got these other guys.
Always crack me up. Whenever you tweet out some random Steven Adams quote, it honestly makes my day. Multiple times a week, it'll make my day.
He's the funniest player in the NBA. I say that without hyperbole. I think he's the funniest player in the NBA. He is hysterical, and he's also extremely low maintenance. He doesn't care if he ever touches the ball. All he wants to do is set his screens, roll to the basket, be physical with guys, get bruises, give bruises, get rebounds. Like, that's all he cares about. And he doesn't care about anything more. And he's like that off the court too. And you look at these other guys, whether it's Jeremy Grant or Josh Huestis or Ray Felton, I think has been an amazing guy in their locker room. I think they're ecstatic about the way he's been in their culture. They have a really good locker room, and I think that rubs off on Paul George, and he's happy with that. And you look at all this chaos in Los Angeles. I think we're having a different conversation if the Lakers are hovering around 500. I do. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the team that's the worst team in the Western Conference. And I think I get the impression that all things being equal, if the Thunder and the Lakers finish with the exact same amount of wins, the Lakers have good young talent, I think Paul George would probably be in Los Angeles. But if the Thunder end up making a playoff run, I don't know what that playoff run has to be. Like, sometimes you could see people say, well, you know what, they have to win it all in order for Paul George to stay there. But like, then you see people, you know, why would he leave a championship team? But then you see people say, well, if he wins it all, then he can say, I got them a ring, I can leave and I can be happy, my job here is done. It's like, you can frame it however you want to frame it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know how far they have to be, how far they have to go. I think what ends up happening here, I think the possibility of a 1 or 2 year deal for Paul George is in the cards, like a 1 or 2 year re-sign, like signing a 1+1. Mm-hmm. He's an 8-year vet. Maybe he just waits until – he might just go 1-year deals until he gets to the 10-year max so that he can get that 35% instead of 30% max. We've seen LeBron do that. We've seen Kevin Durant do that. We saw Russell Westbrook do that with his extension. We saw James Harden do that. that's like, you know, a real trend with really good players who are basically guaranteed max guys. Maybe Paul George goes that route. It'll allow him to stay in Oklahoma City, a place where which he likes from a cultural standpoint. He still lives in Los Angeles 5 or 6 months of the year anyway, and it gives the Lakers time to get their stuff together. So maybe Paul George is able to go there when they're a more competent team and a more competitive team, when he's, you know, 29 years old as opposed to 27 years old. And I certainly think it's possible this summer, but the way that this season has gone, I think the Thunder are, I'd say, optimistic but not delusional that he mm-hmm. ends up coming back. And I think the Thunder have to be at least happy with the way that things are trending right now in terms of just the way the Lakers are going compared to the way that they're going.
Yeah, I mean, I listed them. It just got retweeted onto my timeline here. So the current state of the Lakers, the franchise player's dad is feuding with all NBA coaches who put out a statement today bashing LeVar Ball and saying that and now coaches don't even want him asked questions. All but three guys on the Lakers roster probably don't feel wanted because everybody is on the table so that they can clear max space. The players are reportedly annoyed with the best and most impactful player on the Lakers, Julius Randle. So that's not great. Oh, and by the way, had they lost to Atlanta last night or Sunday night, they would be tied for the worst record in the NBA. And look, this road goes two ways, right? This coin has two sides where throughout this season, Laker fans had to be watching or keeping an eye on things in Oklahoma City to make sure that goes poorly enough or mediocre enough that the Lakers still have a chance at Paul George. But I would argue the opposite has happened. The Thunder took off at basically the exact same time that the Lakers fell off of a cliff. And I don't think that could have gone any better for OKC or worse for the Lakers. So I'm sure if you were to inject Sam Presti with some truth serum, he would probably say, oh yeah, this is keep going. We're gonna find out that Sam Presti was feeding Jeff Goodman the quotes from LeVar.
Wouldn't that be great if Sam Presti was just like angling LeVar to every watch? You're gonna see 29 of the 30 NBA coaches are against interviewing LeVar, and Billy Donovan's gonna be like, no, interview him.
Exactly. Yeah, keep those quotes coming.
That's true.
Man. Yeah,
so, that is true. But yeah, I think Sam. So like early in the year, even when people are saying like Paul George is definitely going to be a Laker, early in the year, the Thunder were still operating like a team that I don't think they thought like, oh, they're Paul George is definitely coming back. I don't think they were delusional at all about it, but they were still operating like a team that thought that Paul George at least had a chance at re-signing with them. Because, like, for example, so they didn't pick up Josh Huestis's fourth-year rookie option. And the reason they didn't pick that up was because they were worried about paying the luxury tax, and that fourth-year option was $2.2 million. If they got a minimum, got to replace him, it's only about a $900,000 difference in salary. But if they pay a massive luxury tax bill, then it's actually a difference in millions of dollars. So it would save them millions by not picking up that option. And there are certain things, like they did that for financial reasons because they were worried about paying a huge tax. Why would they be worried about paying a huge tax? It's if they bring back Melo and Paul George and Russ, who obviously already re-signed. So like there are certain tells in the ways that the Thunder have operated this year which say, okay, the Thunder at least think there is a realistic chance that Paul George ends up coming back, realistic enough to where it's affecting the way that they're operating throughout the season. And I think they're probably I don't think anybody knows what Paul George is going to end up doing, including Paul George. But I think they're probably in as good of a spot as they could have hoped to be right now, especially considering 22-18 is not exactly the best record in the world.
No. And I mean, the other thing too is the context in which it'd be one thing if the Lakers had this record and they were trending upward, you know, or they Lonzo Ball was still good enough inarguably that you'd say, if you're Paul George, okay, yeah, I'd like to attach my career to that kind of talent moving forward. But that isn't how things are going. And yes, the Lakers just won and they beat Atlanta handily. But Atlanta's the worst team in the NBA. And this next, they have a few winnable games here that are turning into must wins, not from a perspective of, hey, maybe they can squeak into the playoffs because the Western Conference has been way worse than people have thought at the very bottom, but more from a no, we need positive headlines out there again, because they haven't been coming recently. The headlines regarding the Lakers have been the kind that make you want to drink at 11 in the morning. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, though. This was a lot of fun. We're gonna have to catch up for longer, and you know what, for just this show, so long as Harrison isn't here, you know, earlier on in the season, the numbers were saying that the Thunder were a way worse team every time Carmelo Anthony was on the court. As they were figuring things out, I'm going to go ahead and say that this was kind of that addition by subtraction kind of thing here with Harrison, who is enjoying Disneyland in the rain.
We're going to have to – yo, Anthony, they want me to come off the bench.
We're going to get that. We're going to have a team meeting with David, and he's going to say, Harrison, we need you to come off the bench. And it's not going to, Jeff Goodman's going to get some unfortunate quotes coming out of Lithuania. plug all your stuff, and then we'll get you out of here.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at Fred Katz. You can listen to I do a post-game podcast called Thunder After Dark, which is patreon.com/thunderafterdark. You can subscribe there. That's $2 a month. I do the OKC Dream Team, which is like a couple of wider casting, big picture podcasts. We do a couple of those a week. And that's with our special guest, Royce Young and Andrew Schlecht and John Hamm. Mm-hmm. Not the actor, just the very – sorry to disappoint, just the radio personality in Oklahoma City.
You didn't have to include that bit of information.
Well, so I said to Ham, I posted something on Ham's Facebook once. One of my friends who knows me, I guess it came across his timeline, posted like, well, I got really excited when I saw that Fred posted on John Ham's wall. But then I saw it was a different John Ham. And Ham responded, think about how disappointed my wife was.
He's really good. He's really funny on Twitter.
He's great. He's hilarious, and he's so smart, and he's so good. Don't ever tell him I said that, though. And you can read my stuff at the Norman Transcript. I tweet out all my stuff, or you can go to normantranscript.com, and you can check out my stuff there.
All right. That was Fred Katz, everybody. Make sure you're following his stuff. The Thunder are already an interesting team in a vacuum, but then you add to that the context of what's on the line for the Lakers, and they are a very well-covered team. So follow Fred on Twitter and support him on Patreon. Do all those good things. Thanks for hopping on with me, Fred.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is always fun.